This is WMRW LP 94.5 Warren, Vermont, streaming live at WMRW.org. We are an all-volunteer, non-commercial, independent community radio station located right here in the Mad River Valley.
The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Rootswork.
Good afternoon, folks. My name is Amy, and I am here in the studio at WMRW with a live guest here today, who I'm going to tell you about in just a moment. You are listening to WMRW LP Warren, Vermont, 94.5 FM, and streaming online at WMRW.org. And this is the 5H show, and the 5Hs stand for health, happiness, harmony, humor, and humanity. We added the fifth H the other day, Jerry and I, so we decided to bring the human family together. It is really a big part of what we're doing, so we added that to our title. And today we really are bringing the human family together. We are bringing the Vermont neighbors together again here on the 5H show. I am very honored to have today a woman that I met at the State House a couple of months ago. She had a table there, and I said, wow, let's have you on the radio, after I'd spoken with her for just a few moments. She is really an amazing woman and one of our Vermont neighbors, and she is spreading truth, compassion, and tolerance through her words and her deeds. And she's here to share this wonderful practice with us. So today we have Tee Chen. Tee Chen is a Falun Gong practitioner, and she lives locally in Vermont, and she started practicing Falun Gong around 1998, and she offers free classes online, and this is a wonderful, wonderful healing practice, so it is right up our alley here on the 5H show. Good morning, Tee. Thanks for coming.
Good morning, Amy. You know, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's really fantastic here in Warren, Vermont. It's so beautiful out today.
It's such a wonderful day and the perfect time to talk to you and the audience.
Yeah, I was thinking that too with the lilacs out and Mother's Day a week ago. You know, it's sort of it's a sensitive time of year when we think of caring, I think. You know, caring and how much the world cares for us and how much we can care for the world. And you've been doing a lot of interesting things. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to Falun Gong.
Well, I'm a physical therapist. You know, I've been practicing physical therapies since I graduated from college. And about 25 years ago, and one day, and I saw a small, like a quarter size, the news on the local newspaper. It's a Falun Gong, okay? And they have like 9-day seminars. And it was so funny, and I talked to my husband. I say, oh, on those days, 9 days is free. Do you believe that? And my husband said, no, you know, it must be something, you know, scam, you know. But then I said, I'll try. So I pick up the phone, and I remember vividly that was Sunday night. I said, probably nobody answered the phone. But then a lady answered the phone. I said, wow, it's a real one. Then and I asked, it's a 9 days? She said, yeah. I said, how long? 2 hours a day. I said, 2 hours? That's pretty long. Well, is it free? She said, yeah, it's free. So I said, okay, I signed it up. And then that's how I started. And I have no idea what it was. But it was so amazing when I started.
Wow, you just listened to your intuition and followed through. And took a chance.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, it's so interesting to me, and was very special feelings, and I have no idea, you know, I never heard about that. So, but once I started, I said, "Whoa, what they talk about it is a lot of questions I have in my mind for years, but I couldn't find the answer. Now it all solved my problems. So I'll come back tomorrow." So so I just keep going for 9 days. I was surprised. I work full time. You know, it's not easy to take 9 consecutive days to be somewhere, but I did it.
Interesting. 9 consecutive days, and you were working full time.
I worked full time.
Yeah. And I like that it was consecutive. I wonder if there was a reason for that.
Is that the reason for that is you get the full benefit of it. Okay. Sometimes if you drop a day, because this is a systematic teaching. So if you go through 9 days, you know, it's easy for you to absorb it. Like I have a question after the lecture one. Then I say, I have a question 1, 2, 3, okay? Then I say, oh, should I ask them? Oh, I wait. So the second day, I went back, and my answer was actually all in the lecture two. And that's the reason amazing me. So when I have a question in lecture two, I went back the day three, those questions were answered on the day three. That's the reason keep me going, you know, for 9 consecutive days. And that was amazing. You know, my husband and I, all full time, we continue for 9 consecutive days.
Oh, great. Your husband came too.
My husband went the lecture with me, but he didn't practice like me on the regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you said it answered some questions you had a long time, what kinds of questions?
The question is, why I'm here? You know, what I'm doing here? You know, where I'm going? Something like, you know, I always wondering, and nobody seem can answer my questions. But to me, you know, I didn't speak it out, but somehow what's deep in my mind is very important to me.
Yeah, I think those are the questions everybody is struggling with.
Struggle with, you know, because when you're frustrated with certain problems, when you're happy or with some joyful things, but you wonder, you know, why, you know, why happened to me, not happened to Amy?
Right. And it helped answer that.
It helps answer that. Wow. And a lot of things in the lectures, I never heard about that. You know, a lot of times I took as a granted, like, you know, I was born in Taiwan and I thought I knew everything about Chinese culture. But then a lot of things I didn't know. And I was wondering why I didn't know that before. Mm-hmm. Because people do not tell me, or maybe they don't know.
Right. We only know what we know.
Yeah. A lot of times we only pay attention is just what happened in front of us. But when we sit back, has a quiet moment, then we also think about something else. And those the question came out of my mind at that time.
Wonderful. And so those classes, what were they like? It sounds like there was a lecture.
The 9-day seminar I went was 9 consecutive days. Each day, there's a 1.5 hours like a teaching, okay? And they broadcast the teacher, Mr. Li Hongzi's videos and his lecture. You know, he has 1 lecture a day. And then after the lecture, there is a system where, you know, the system would tell us about the exercises. So we learn the exercise right after each lectures. So there's a 5 exercises. So they repeat, you know, certain exercises that they use 2 days to teach.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about Falun Gong. It's a fairly new practice.
Yeah, most people probably hasn't heard about that, but it actually has been around for a long, long time. And in the old days, this practice, you know, do not share with the public. And Mr. Li Hongzhi was the first one actually introduced the exercise to the public. And he set up the rules, nobody can teach exercise to charge money, so it's always free to the public. So I have taught exercise since I started practice, and I never, you know, collect any money. It's always free to the public.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we're going to tell our listeners for sure how they can connect with you and how they can connect with your classes.
Yeah, and I was amazing about the practice, you know. As I say that, I was a physical therapist at that time, and I know how to do the exercise, right? Why I have to go to this to learn the exercise? But when I started to learn, I would say, oh, this is a totally different from the other Qigong exercise I learned before. Then was really get to my attention, mm-hmm. you know, and I really into it.
Yeah, yeah. So I've done some Tai Chi over the recent years, and
right, Tai Chi was the exercise I practiced. I practiced in 1998. Okay, I've been practicing Tai Chi probably at that time probably 10 years. Yeah, and the Tai Chi has 108 movements. Okay, and when I practice, you know, I have to pay attention to. This movement is breathe in, this movement is breathe out, you know. So I have to think about it. But when I start to practice Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, no, you just breathe normally. I say, no, I don't have to think about it. This is a breathe in or breathing out. No, you just breathe normally. Then I feel, oh, that's so different. Then I really find it out is more relaxed because my mind don't have to keep running. You know, when you're busy thinking about this movement come with a breathe in, this movement come with a breathe out. My mind was running all the time, thinking, okay. But when I do Falun Dafa and I don't have to think about it, I just go with the music and let everything go. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a different, really different. I never think about it, you know. When I think about it, something, actually my mind was running. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. Probably people will ask me, well, yeah, I heard this is a meditation exercise. I say, that's true. Okay, for young people, how could you do meditation? You probably can stay one spot for a long time. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. When you're really interested in doing something, you are into it and you will stay calm and relaxed. I give you an example. I taught a group of fourth grade and fifth grade at an elementary school long time ago, probably 24 years ago. Okay, around the noontime. You know, after they have lunch, I went to the school and I taught the student, the whole class, and the teacher. So a month after, so I asked the teacher, what do you think? Do the student, they like it? Oh, the teacher said, it was so wonderful. You know, used to be after lunch, they are either, you know, sleeping, or they're very noisy because they cannot calm down to practice anything, can do their homework or do listen to the class. But after exercise, they are all calm. They can do math. They can do language. They can do boring things. They usually don't like it. And I say, oh, that's great. And it's amazing that a class, I think about 20 or 30, you know, students in one class. They are all follow the music and me and do the meditation exercise. It's amazing how powerful sometimes, you know, when you calm down, you can do more than what you think.
Mm-hmm. That focusing, being in the zone.
Yeah.
We have to be present.
Yeah. You know, it is amazing. And I never thought about it until I saw all those students so quiet. And I say, oh, this is a very powerful practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so quite a few people have. It took off like wildfire in China. I was hearing a lot of people became practitioners.
Yeah, well, it was amazing. You know, I didn't practice at that time when the exercise was introduced to the public. And when I started 1998, I learned, you know, in the New England area, less than a year, I heard about the persecution start and the Chinese regime banned the exercise. I said, that's incredible. That's impossible. How could that happen? Okay. Then I didn't believe it then.
So within a year of you starting, the Chinese government cracked down and made it illegal to practice this amazing thing you had just discovered.
And I said, why?
Right, why?
Then that's impossible. Then I find it out, you know, by that time, probably 70 million to 100 million people practice the exercise. One of my friends went to China, and in the morning, when he walked out of the hotel, he find that the sidewalk, the park, anywhere, everywhere, people practice that. He felt so good about it. So he came back, he said, oh, T, you know that? A lot of people practice the exercise. I was getting excited too. I said, oh, when I have a chance, I want to see it, you know. But before I have a chance, you know, they started to ban the exercise. And I find it was too popular. When you are very popular and the Chinese regime, they didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They want people listen to them. Okay, you do what I told you to do. You cannot do on your own. But this is just an exercise. Why you make a big deal about it? But they steer. You know, they censor everything. So they thought, oh, in 3 months, nobody will practice Falun Gong. Okay, but the previous president was very surprised. After 3 months, people still want to practice. And I actually met another practitioner when I started to practice Falun Gong. He was a doctor. He has a medical doctors. He actually worked at Harvard University at that time. And I asked Dr. Wang, why did you practice Falun Gong? He said, T, you didn't know that.
Oh.
I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was in China. I was a doctor, and nobody can cure me, and I want to survive. So I went to Harvard, and I hope the advanced medicine can help me. But I was at Harvard, nobody can help me either. I was very disappointed. He got to the point he couldn't, you know, take care of himself daily, you know. But then one day he received a letter from his old friend say, hi, I find something that probably can cure your problem. He said, what was that? It's a Qigong practice. What's the name of that? They told him it's a Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong. So he searched everywhere. He found out, you know, there's a place teach the exercise. So he went to the class. I happened to be in that class, so I knew him. So after he started to practice, he changed. He totally got rid of the problems. He was a healthy person. He has been healthy since I know him up to now. And that made me open my eyes. This is true. This guy's really happened in front of me. And so that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very, very amazing. And he is a doctor. He's a medical doctor.
And could find no help in the medical industry.
Some of the problems up to now, you cannot find a cure through the regular medicines or through anything. Muscular dystrophy is still the problem up to now. Yeah.
Wow, but not for this man
not
that you
for
know.
This he, not for Dr. Wong, because he started to practice just like me in 1998. He's still around, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and still practicing.
He still practiced there. And that was a shock to me to actually see someone and know someone, and that was the truth.
Yeah, that's something I did come across in the little bit of research I did, was what a healing effect it can have on people, that it's just been healing people.
It does, but you have to practice, and you have to listen to the teachings. You know, you cannot just say, oh, okay, you know, just like any practice that, oh, I know, I went once, and you just relax, have a cup of tea or coffee at home. You probably won't get too much benefit from it.
Right, it's what you put in is what you get out.
Yeah. What do you get? What do you put it in?
Yeah, and so people know what we're talking about and who we're talking with. We're talking about a practice called Falun Gong, or Falun
Dafa.
Dafa, which is F-A-L-U-N, Falun, and then Gong, G-O-N-G, or D-A-F-A, Dafa. So those two words are kind of interchangeable for the second.
In the Cultural Revolution, okay, all Chinese exercise, if it's one of the Qigong exercise, they always end it with a gong.
Oh.
Okay, so you will see, you will hear about this gong, that gong, because it just the terms tell you that's one of the Qigong practice.
Oh,
okay, so Falun Dafa is the official name, but people sometimes call Falun Gong because it's like a nickname. It's just like a ritual. Sometimes people call Rick, sometimes people call Ricky. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, thank you. And we are speaking, I am speaking right now with T. Chen, who is one of our neighbors here in Vermont. And she is a Falun Gong or Falun Dafa practitioner, and she teaches classes for free. How are those classes? Tell us a little bit about those, in case folks are going to cut off the show early. I want them to know.
Oh, I usually teach about an hour and a half, okay, Monday and Saturday online from 2 o'clock to 3:30, but people can take your own pace, okay? I teach exercise 1 to 5. Basically, there's a 5 set of exercise, okay? 4 in standing and 1 in sitting. Okay, and the standing also include the standing meditation. So the first exercise is open your energy channel. The second exercise is standing meditation. The third exercise to exchange your energy with cosmic energy. And the fourth exercise is circulate the energy through your body. The sitting meditation is the fifth exercise. And I always takes time, you know, is always free. If you have any questions, you can come to me, you know, I'll be happy to answer the question you have. Basically, the practice is based on the universal practice. The principle is truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. So I always show people, say, let's try to follow the principles in our daily lives. I have many, many little stories about when I start to practice, how I follow the principles. But it depends on whether we have time or not.
We have time.
We have time. Yeah. Okay. What's so funny is when I start to practice, right, truthfulness, okay, then one day I went to a grocery store. I picked up everything, and I paid the money. When I went back to my car, I put the grocery back to my car. Then I found out one package of the beef was not in the bag. Then I said, oh, how could that be, you know? So I look at my receipt. Oh, this beef package, I probably forgot to put on the counter. So they didn't count it this one. So I have two choices. My two kids are at home. They are hungry. They are waiting for me to cook dinner. Okay. I have another choice. Go back to pay the cashier. So I decided, sorry, kids, mommy will be a little late. So I went back to the grocery store, but there are lines. So I decided I wait in the lines, and then I pay for it. Okay. When I arrive home, and I say, it's amazing. I look at myself, it's amazing. I say that. I say, how could I do that? I probably won't do that before I practice. I probably just went home and maybe go to there next day, you know, because my kids are probably hungry. But I decided, no, I have to make it clear. If I didn't pay, I better pay now. Okay. That won't happen to me before, but I noticed that I changes. Why I changes? Because I practice Falun Gong, and I want to follow the truthfulness. It's not I lie to the cashier, but it just I ignored it. I didn't pay attention, you know. But I try to be honest, and the honest sometimes you have to pay for it, mm-hmm. you know. As a physical therapist, I have patients. I always get along with my patients and their families. Sometimes my patients' family will ask me, don't tell my dad or my mom the real diagnosis. Okay. And in the old days, I probably say, okay. Now I don't want to lie. Okay, even it's a white lie, but I will try something else to answer the questions. Okay, so that's not easy mm-hmm. for me. And I find out that to be really truthfulness, you know, you have to have a courage, you know, to say something. It's just like today, I'm here. I'm happy to be here, but you need to encourage to say things. Some people may not like to hear that. I think the Chinese communists probably don't like to hear that. But I'm telling is the truth from the bottom of my heart. So I feel the encourage from everyone. Okay, give me props.
Yes, I give you props, definitely.
You know, to tell the truth, mm-hmm. to tell everyone what was really happened and what the persecution still happened, even up to now. Okay, so when I teach the class, people are very relaxed. I have people follow me for probably 24 years. Mm. She just loved the exercise. She loved to do exercise with me, so she still follows me, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's no obligation. People can come to learn and practice on their own, or people... If you decide not to practice, that's okay with me, okay? But I think I like to share good things with people. I always tell people, if I have an unhealthy, a good apple I want to share with my family, I will not share a rotten apple with my family or my friend, right? So because I think this practice is good, I got a lot of benefit from it. So I like to share with people.
Thank heaven for that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are talking about Falun Gong or Falun Dafa, which is a practice of truth, compassion, and tolerance, which is bringing amazing healing to people around the planet. And so the Chinese Communist Party felt maybe threatened, I guess, is one theory I hear out there. I mean, they certainly didn't decide to shut down Falun Gong within China because it was unhealthy. I mean, did they give any like valid excuse like we need to stop this because it's hurting people or it's a better thing for society?
It was very sad to say that. Since 1999, they actually spread a lot of lies about the practice, such as you know. You cannot take a medicine But there's, if you really read the teachings, there's nowhere to mention about you cannot take a medicine. But it did, you know, state that the karmas and the relationship with the sickness. Okay, so they talk about a lot of things that I never heard before. Was really interesting to me. But Chinese Communist regime also twisted the real sentence and twist to turn into that, you know, the teaching say you cannot see the doctor, you cannot take the medicine, and that's not true. Okay, and some different, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the practice because Chinese Communists just lies about that. Okay, and when I just started to practice, I have no clue. And I say, that's not true. That's not in the teachings. Why they say that? But then gradually I understand that if they want to persecute you, they want to arrest you, okay? And they want to take the organ out of your body. And that was true. Okay, I can talk about a little bit later. But what's the reason behind that? So they have to have a line up different lines to tell people, this is the practice, say. This is the practice. But that was not true. Because I've been practicing so long. Oh, they all say they donate the money. You know, they collect the money. But since I practiced, I haven't paid a penny for it. All the money I took out of my pocket. Okay. Some people also mentioned that. This is happened in China. What's to do with us in United States? It is. It is related to you and me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Personally, I can give you an example. Since I practiced that in 2001, okay, and the previous president, Bennett, exercise, he was going to Iceland. I said, I'm going to Iceland. I'm going to tell him he's wrong, okay, because I didn't want to go back to mainland China. So I used my own vacation. I worked full-time, and my own money, I bought the ticket to Iceland. But when I went to the international airport, I was told my ticket was canceled. I said, it cannot be. I didn't cancel that. Who canceled me? So I went over to the counter. Then I got their supervisor. I said, who canceled my ticket? So he looked into it. He said, oh, it's the foreign minister from Chinese government called the Iceland airline. The Iceland government called the airline. The airline canceled that. I said, how could you cancel? I paid by myself. They said, no, because your name is a Chinese name. Okay, they cancel all the people with a Chinese name. And I said, that's not right.
Wow, so the leader from China was going to Iceland.
Yeah.
And you wanted to talk to him, and they're canceling everyone who's arriving from China.
I didn't have an idea. I couldn't get close to him, but I thought, well, since he's not in China, maybe I have a chance, you
right.
know.
Right. Oh, wow. But to bring your message.
But then there was a Chinese police department follow the Chinese foreign minister's guideline and contact Iceland government. The Iceland government contact the Iceland airline. So I saw everybody else went onto the plane and get on board, but not me.
Wow.
And that was my vacation. I was so furious, but I couldn't do anything. So reschedule me 2 days after when he left Iceland. But that's not right. You know, Amy, at that moment, and I say, I need to speak it out whenever I can. Okay, I cannot keep quiet. They infiltrated even to the United States. Imagine that. Unbelievable. So if you met me before, I was a quiet lady. But now I'm not a really talkative like someone else. But if you ask me, I will let you know the truth. I know, you know. And that's a little different because of that incident.
Yeah.
And I cannot believe it did happen. And the second incident is when I went to New York City, for a different event. And I saw that, there's certain Chinese people, I think they got money from the Chinese regime. Okay, they are there, make a noise, and to try to block the traffic, try to interfere the events. And I couldn't believe that happened, but it did happen in New York City. And I asked people, it happened quite a lot, very frequently. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think in New York City they have a record of it, you know, but I couldn't believe that it did happen. Fortunately, not in Vermont. You know, but Vermont is the state, you know, we are peace, we're more relaxed, you know. I hope it will never happen here. But it is related to us. Mm-hmm. And the other third thing is, I think recently, I forgot the professor's name. He's a Harvard professor. He was the head of one of the department. And he was arrested, okay, in just a reason, about a few months. And because he was recorded, by Chinese regime to collect information and to work for Chinese regime. And he got a rewarded, not just the money, also the free trips to China, everything free. Okay, he got a lot of extra benefit for what he did. And the Harvard University didn't know that. And once the FBI found it out, he was arrested. And they find out he did not report. If you are a scholar, if you share with your research, you have to let the school knows about it. But he did not let Harvard knows about it. And that's happened a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And I also know this has happened just for last week, a Chinese association, local cultural association, okay, the association leader was arrested. Okay, and that's happened in Boston, and I read the newspaper. He was arrested because he was Chinese communist assigned to work in the United States to collect all those names, address, contact information through his association. Okay, Chinese regime actually established so many associations in the Chinatown area. Mm-hmm. Okay, they named their last name. So this has happened to the Liang's association. It can be Wang's association, can be Chen's association. It just people's last name. So they collect, your last name is Chen. Oh, your last name is Chen. So they collect all Chen people, the last name people, to form association. So they collect the data about each person's personal information. And this guy collect a lot of information submitted back to mainland China. Okay, and local people didn't know about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, he also get the money from the Chinese regime. Okay, he also did a lot of things under the ground. We didn't know that, but somehow FBI find it. Mm-hmm. And he was arrested. Right now, they have the court. They have to schedule that. But to me, as a regular resident, and I look at all those people's a professor, a head of association. Why are they doing that? Okay, because they all ask for a fame, their name, their the title, and also the money. Okay, and they did these things, and to collect data sent to back to China, and that was terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, how the Chinese government will use those data, we don't know. But so many scams right now. There's people on the top of the association will collect the data. That scares me, you know. But it did happen. I don't know either one of them. But I just read the newspaper and I say, okay, I have to follow the principle of truthfulness, compassion, and the tolerance. I have to tolerance. All this is actually happen, okay, around us. But so it's not far away from us. We think it's not happened to us. It is around us, you know. So I encourage people to speak it out. Whatever you see, speak it out. You don't know, it's very important. It may be very important for the other people. You may save other people's life if you speak it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you just gave a few examples of the Chinese government reaching with its tentacles into the United States with professors, associations, and controlling who flies, you know, who flies where. I mean, so this is beyond the boundaries of China. And then just, I mean, I know for me, I've always been curious. I grew up with the Tiananmen Square, you know, protests happening. And sort of the last message we Americans got was, oh, there was this great protest and the people stood up and it was a beautiful thing. But we don't realize that afterwards, the crackdown, those folks were arrested. I mean, those students who protested did not change China. It, if anything, it clamped down harder as a result. And so I think it's really important for us to understand. It's really sometimes difficult to realize the amount of oppression going on, you know, to oppress a group of people who are just meditating and you know, doing Qigong and practicing truth, compassion, and tolerance. It's hard to wrap your head around that.
It is very hard. And after I started to practice and after the crackdown, and I would wonder why this happened again and again. Then later on, I heard in 2001, okay, and the Chinese regime started to harvest people's organs while they're still alive. Okay, majority will be Falun Gong practitioners' organ for sale. Okay, before the persecution, okay, Chinese transplants has not too many donors. If you look at the data, it's very minimal. Okay, because Chinese people, they believe their organs came from their parents, from the ancestor, so they do not donate. It's just a different cultures, okay, it's not right or wrong. But since persecution started, okay, and I look at the data, in 2000, there are 10 times more organ transplant happened in China. Okay, 10 times more. Where did they get all those organs? Okay, in 2005, they are 30 times more than before the persecution. So it looks like the boom of the transplant, organ transplant, is in line with the timeline of persecution. Where, because when they start to persecute Falun Gong practitioner, you know, at that time, they have established a 610 office. The office can arrest. If they think you are a practitioner, they can arrest you. They don't have to any reasons. And when they arrest people, they either send to a psych hospital, inject unnecessary drug, make you cuckoo, okay? Or they put in your labor camp. They force you to make all those toys that in McDonald's or in the dollar stores. They force the cheap laborers. They also took a complete blood test when they arrest you. Okay, and then the practitioner may missing. A lot of practitioners missing. We could not find them because they do not go through the legal procedure. So you don't have the name, say, A was arrested. You don't have it. It's just that person's missing. Okay, when they find out in the labor camp, they won't let the family to see that. Then later on, they find out it's died. Okay, why? They don't know that. Mm. Okay, so we find it out. There's a, goes through an eye doctor's wife, and she couldn't sleep. Her husband couldn't sleep. The doctor couldn't sleep because he did a lot of, you know, cornea eye surgery from Falun Gong practitioner. So at night time, she screamed because they couldn't sleep. So she spoke it out. Okay, then we find out. We don't have the power to survey. So there's independent. There's a Canadian MP. Okay, he is, Mr. Kiergo, and he went to China to survey. And there's another human rights lawyer, okay, and Lawyer Matters, okay, he also went to China to survey. And they find out that's true, you know, all those Falun Gong practitioners were arrested and they disappear. And the family couldn't find them, they die, you know. Where are they? What did happen to them? They don't know. But they saw the data. The hospital has more transplant surgeon rooms than any other place in the rest of the world. And they couldn't, unbelievable. But there's a lot of investigation. Now, in 2019, okay, is China Tribunal is in Europe. That actually based in London. Okay, is individual investigation, and they investigate. Okay, and that's how their judgment say that. They say one or most of the organs came from Falun Gong practitioner, and that was the truth. And they have the final judgment in 2020. In 2021, the UN and they have a human rights experts, and they also issue a statement to confirm that. Okay, so it has been invested by many, many peoples, and this was the truth. My cousin, he lives in New York. He has a kidney dialysis for 4 years. He was waiting for a kidney transplant. He couldn't find one in New York City or through the United States. But if you want the liver or kidney transplant, you can win online, okay? And you can find it, the match one, in 2 days or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And you can schedule surgery, okay? And fly to China on the certain day, what time, you will get a kidney transplant. That's impossible here. Mm-hmm. The donor has to be, the donor does not know he's going to die. Okay, so how could you schedule a kidney or liver transplant a certain time, certain hours? But they could do that. Yeah. And that has been the problem. And a lot of people not just have one transplant because they don't follow up. So after the transplantation surgery, you have to go back to where you come from. Okay, if it's not working, okay, we schedule another one. So some people has multiple transplants. Can you imagine how could you have so many donors first to match that? You have to have pious living person there waiting to be transplanted. That's impossible to do that in the United States.
Yeah.
But they did it. Where did they get it?
Right. The evidence is just really irrefutable, and it's been confirmed, like you said, by the UN.
Yeah.
The U.S. Congress even has passed, you know, a memorandum about it and a statement about it. And so we know that this is happening. It's horrifying.
It is terrible, okay? And so the United States, actually the Congress, actually it's March 27th. Actually, 2 months ago, they just passed a House resolution, 1154, okay, to condemn and the forced organ harvest, you know, in China. Okay, it's a bill. It is the first time. Okay, they have a different resolution, but this is the one really put in black or white. Mm-hmm. And the many states, I know at least 16 different states, they also have a state resolution to condemn that and to ask China stop doing that. Unfortunately, Vermont, we haven't had one yet, and I hope with more people knows about the truth, we should have one. You know, but in Israel, they actually have the beers set it up. Their insurance will not reimburse people if you're going to get the organ transplant in China. So that helps quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, European, they have, I think 2016, they also have a resolution, but it's not strong as Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay, in Australia, in Taiwan, they also have a resolution to condemn the Chinese regimes. And I think more people can do that, and they got to stop, you know. Because if they can do that, nobody knows about it. They will continue to do that, and that's what happened right now.
Right. It's just such an amazing world, and to remain truthful in this world where there are things we don't know about, like this amazing practice that I wasn't aware of until I met you, and then this horrifying persecution and harvesting. So the documentary I was seeing, they described it as it usually, you know, will kill the person.
Yeah.
To have their organs forcibly removed, and then they just dispose of the people. And
because all those people, when their organ was taken out, why they still alive? So that's what terrible. Because think about the heart transplant, the liver transplant, the organ has to be really fresh, you mm-hmm. know. You cannot, when the donor die, you cannot use the organs anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's a difference, you know. But think about how many organ transplant over there. They're probably the top number probably came from China. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. But before the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners, they are the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm.
So after persecution, they jump to the first.
Wow. Yeah. So they're just using their prisoners and so far getting away with it.
Yes, yeah. It's terrible.
Horrifying.
And also, you know, when they have money, because they're booming, you know, they make a lot of money, and they also come to different countries. They establish Confucian school, okay, and they gave the school money. They probably usually spend $1 million U.S. dollars for each school, have a Confucian school. They claim they teach you Chinese language for free, but they actually teach you the communist concepts into school. And now in the United States, they probably has quite a lot. I lose track right now, you know, but a lot of school find it out that the teaching was not supposed to be, and they started to close the Confucian school. Some schools still open, but the reason I mentioned to that is A lot of times we really didn't know what Chinese Communist is doing here. You know, we think, you know, but they are doing quite a lot of things under the table, or use different names. And we want our youngsters, okay, to be healthy, to know all the resources. We don't want they to learn the bias. That's what happened Chinese Communists doing. You think they will give you $1 million for free? You know, they really has no free lunch, you know, right now. Why are they willing to do that? Because they want you to listen to them. Their concept, their theories, they want you to know that and go to their patterns. And it's very sad. It's very important that we have to keep our education, you know, the way it is, you know, so the kids can learn whatever they want to learn, not what you set it up for them to learn. Because sometimes you set it up, you have to think about it, whether this is also follow the principles of our teaching. That's very important for the youngsters, you know, because they have no idea. You tell them what, they absorb it. But you have to make sure, you know, what we teach them is what is good for them.
Yeah, yeah, and speaking of teaching and learning, do you want to let folks know where they can learn more about this? We have just a few minutes and we'll wrap up for the hour. And
Sure. You can go to the website. Okay. It's called farindafa.org website. There is a practice site through the whole world. Okay. You go to the practice site. You pick it up, North American. Then you pick up United States. Then you pick up Vermont. Okay, then you find it out. Okay, and I also teach online. So if you are interested, maybe you can let Amy know about that. Amy, let me know. Then I will send the link to you. It's always free. You can learn the exercise free online. Okay, and also on the website. Okay, there's a videos, and it's also free. I know I talked to a guy in St. Alban. He actually learned from the videos. Yeah, I say, you're good, you know. I'm not good, you know, learn from the video, but he did. He learned from the video. The video has a step-by-step exercise 1 to 5. You can learn that. For the teaching, you can also has auditory tapes on the website. You can learn that. All the teaching has listed online, also free. You can download or you can just watch online. You know, so there's a different. Or you can set up time with me. You know, I can meet you locally, and you know, we can have a good time. You know, exercise and talk. You know, so there's a different way to learn the exercise. But go to the falundafa.org. Okay, and that's the website. You can have a lot of resources.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is the 5-8 show, and I have been speaking with Ti Chen, a Falun Gong practitioner, and she is recommending folks go to falundafa.org, falundafa.org for those videos. And if you want to connect with her, you can email me at vtmasksurvey@mail.com, and I will definitely connect you. We are so lucky here in Vermont to have such great neighbors.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're really happy and fortunate to have you. I'm really glad that I met you, and to keep learning from you, I hope, too, in the future. Excellent. So we're going to close for the top of the hour. We'll bring up some music here, folks. Thanks for joining me. Bye.
You are listening to WMRW LP Warren 94.5 FM, streaming at WMRW.org.